Welcome back to the deep dive. You know that feeling, right? When you're suddenly hit with a massive, urgent organizational problem that honestly could have been completely avoided with just 6 months of foresight.
Oh, absolutely. The Monday morning crisis that was brewing for a year.
Exactly. Today, we're diving deep into a methodology designed to prevent that from happening in, well, probably the most critical area of any business. It's people, it's talent pool. And we're not just talking about, guessing how many people you might need next quarter. We're unpacking the serious, structured engineering of a future workforce.
Right. It's a system.
It's a system that translates raw employee data into a justified long-term talent strategy. Okay, let's unpack this. So the source you shared lays out this really rigorous four-stage process for creating what it calls a manpower forecast and requirement dashboard.
Right.
Our mission today is to take these four phases. They are discover, design, deploy, and drive, and really show you how an organization can move from just gathering personal data to defining attrition, running formulas, and then at the end, building an undeniable business case for hiring.
And that strategic foresight is, I mean, it's everything.
Okay.
The whole objective here isn't just to list the steps, it's to show how this methodical structure lets a company shift from being reactive,
Constantly scrambling.
constantly scrambling to fill empty seats, exactly, to being proactive, where you actually anticipate and mitigate resource gaps years in advance.
Because without that structure, you're just kind of
You're
guessing.
basing it on anecdotes or crisis management, which is a massive liability.
It's about building a model, not just recording history. So let's start with that foundation, the four-phase roadmap. It's very sequential, which I think is key.
You can't skip steps.
You can't. We have discover, which is the data intake, then design, which defines all the variables. Deploy is the calculation engine, and drive is the final strategic action part.
Precisely. And you can think of these four Ds as a pipeline. If the input in Discover is messy or, incomplete, then everything that flows down that line,
Garbage in, garbage out.
totally. The definitions, the calculations, and that final strategic report. It'll all be flawed. Each phase builds the clarity needed for the next one.
Okay, so let's jump right into the start of that pipeline, the discover phase.
Yeah.
This isn't just an HR inventory list, is it?
Not at all.
You're collecting this foundational data that becomes the anchor for the whole predictive model. So what specific data points are we talking about here? What's absolutely mandatory?
Well, the data is surprisingly granular, and that specificity is really what gives the model its power. You need the obvious stuff, of course, like total headcount.
Sure.
But crucially, you need employee age and their joining date. Those two data points together are absolutely essential for predicting future retirements.
Okay, that makes sense.
And you need a solid record of historical attrition rates, and not just a total number, but a rate that's, specific to each department or function.
And the source specifically calls out designation. Now, that can't just be a job title, can it? It feels like it's defining the strategic value of the role itself.
You've hit it exactly. Designation here moves way beyond simply saying, oh, that person is a manager. It forces the organization to classify the role by its complexity, its criticality, and how hard it is to replace.
So, are they a specialized engineer or someone in a role with high turnover?
Absolutely. If you don't track by that critical designation, your forecast might look fine on the surface. It might show you have enough people in the future.
But it's hiding a huge problem.
A massive one. It's masking the fact that you're about to lose 90% of your most specialized, most critical talent in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And that makes the whole discover phase worthless for actual strategic planning.
So Discover gathers the what we have now data. That then flows into phase two, the design phase. This is where we stop just collecting information and start setting the rules for the calculation.
Yes, the design phase is all about defining the variables that are going to drive the model. And you can think of it as two main forces: the negative variables, which is attrition, and the positive ones, which is the influx of new people.
Okay, let's start with the negative. The source says we have to categorize attrition into four specific factors.
That's right.
And those four are retirements, resignations, deaths, and this category called other exits.
Correct. And just separating them is the first huge step toward real strategic insight. If you lump them all together, you just get one big, scary number.
Right.
But by tracking them separately in this design phase, you immediately create these distinct levers for action later on.
That's the strategic differentiator, isn't it? Losing someone to a scheduled retirement is a completely different kind of organizational problem than losing them to an unscheduled resignation.
That is the key analytical jump you have to make. A loss from retirement is manageable. It triggers succession planning.
Mm-hmm.
You need, what, a 12 to 24 month pipeline to train a replacement or transfer knowledge?
Sure, you can see it coming.
But a loss from resignation, that's often a controllable internal failure. That should immediately trigger a compensation, culture, or management audit. If your forecast shows you are hemorrhaging talent through resignations, the answer isn't just hire more people.
No, the answer is to fix the problem.
Exactly. Fix the root cause, which this dashboard is designed to highlight.
I love that. It turns the data into a specific strategic imperative. But let's clarify that fourth category. Other exits. In a clean model like this, what kind of things fall into that bucket?
Other exits is really the catch-all for necessary but non-voluntary departures that aren't deaths or retirements.
Right.
So this could be things like long-term disability leave that requires a backfill,
okay,
or maybe internal transfers out of a department that still create a gap that needs to be filled,
mm,
or even, you know, mandatory terminations for cause. It just ensures your calculation is complete without watering down the main strategic indicators, which are resignations and retirements.
Okay, so we've defined the losses. Now, still in the design phase, we have to define the incoming talent, the positive side of the equation. This is where the organization decides on new hires.
Exactly. And this variable, the average joining rate or the hiring plan, is maybe the trickiest input in the whole model.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, you have to ask, is this number based on a necessity that's driven by your attrition forecast? Or is it based on a growth goal that the finance department handed down? If that new hire number is arbitrary, the whole forecast becomes flawed. Strategic organizations will actually use the output of this formula to justify their hiring plan. But the model still needs an initial defined input to run the simulation in the first place.
That brings up a critical point about reliability. If this whole process hinges on the quality of these inputs, what happens if the whole economic landscape just shifts drastically? Can this thing even adapt?
It forces adaptation. That's the beauty of it. Let's say, for instance, a big economic downturn causes people to delay their retirements by 2 years. The organization has to go back to the design phase and immediately adjust that expected retirements variable. This whole approach is robust precisely because it requires active management of the inputs. It is not set it and forget it.
It forces you to make your assumptions official.
Exactly.
Okay, so now we have all the inputs meticulously defined. Our current people, our calculated losses broken down by type, and our planned additions. It's time to move the pieces. Here's where it gets really interesting. This brings us squarely into phase three, deploy. This is the engine room. This is where those forecasting formulas actually run to estimate manpower needs for, say, the next 6 months or even 5 years out.
Yeah, the deploy phase is where the strategy translates directly into numbers. The core calculation is, I mean, it's simple arithmetic, but the systemic way you apply it is what gives it all the power.
You're basically running a simulation.
A continuous simulation based on the rules we set up back in the design phase. And the logic, straight from the source material, is this. Future workforce is calculated by taking your current workforce, that granular data from Discover, adding your defined new hires from the hiring plan, and then subtracting the total defined attritions.
So the formula is pretty straightforward. Future workforce equals current workforce plus new hires minus those attritions, which are retirements plus resignations plus deaths plus others.
Correct. But the sophistication isn't in the math itself. It's in the detailed application. If you, the listener, just used an average attrition rate for the whole company, you'd have a massive blind spot.
Right.
The strategic value comes from ensuring that attritions is always the sum of those four discrete factors we defined earlier.
Yeah.
This makes the output highly actionable because you know the cause of the future number.
And there's one detail that makes this deployment truly powerful, which the source really emphasizes. This entire calculation is done department-wise.
This is non-negotiable for any large organization. Granularity is the key to actionable planning. Let's imagine a hypothetical company. If you run a company-wide forecast, you might see that your total future headcount stays flat.
Signaling stability to leadership. Everyone's happy.
Exactly. But that stable number could be hiding serious, serious structural issues.
How so?
It could be masking the fact that your operations department is about to lose 20 specialized technicians to retirement, but that's being offset because the marketing department is planning to overhire 20 generalists.
Ah, so the overall number looks fine.
The overall number is stable, but strategically, the company is facing a catastrophic skill shortage in one area and a costly surplus in another. By running the calculation department by department in the deploy phase, the output is specific enough to trigger targeted recruitment drives, focused retention bonuses,
and immediate succession planning right where it's actually needed.
Right, where it's needed most. That is what separates a simple headcount report from a truly strategic dashboard.
It prevents the big picture from swallowing the critical details.
And it allows department leaders to take ownership of their own data. They are much more likely to trust a forecast that's specific to their team, built with their own history, than some blanket organizational number.
We've discovered the data, we've designed the variables, and we've deployed the formula. The numbers are calculated. So now we arrive at the final phase, the one that turns all this complexity into clarity. So what does this all mean?
This is the drive phase. This is the moment where all that raw output from deploy gets transformed into interactive dashboards and reports for the decision makers, the C-suite, department heads, HR leadership.
So if deploy is the engine,
drive is the transmission. It's moving the power to the wheels of the organization.
The source outlines three specific high-impact reports that get generated here. I'm guessing they have to work together to tell a complete story, right?
Oh, they absolutely must. They focus on communicating the forecast, the trend, and the cause. The first one is the department-wise manpower forecast. This is the hard summary table.
Numbers.
The raw numbers. Current state, planned inputs, resulting future state, department by department. This is the essential report for any budgeting or headcount approval meeting.
Yeah.
It answers the question, are we growing or shrinking? And by how much?
That's the direct executive summary. What's the next layer down?
The next is the future workforce trend. This is the visualization over time. Seeing the numbers in a chart is crucial for understanding the urgency.
Right. Is it a slow decline or a cliff?
Exactly. Is the projected decline gradual over 5 years, which gives us time to develop people internally? Or does the chart show a steep cliff edge, a sharp dip just 18 months from now, which demands immediate, probably high-cost external hiring? The visual trend dictates the pace of your response.
And the third report, I imagine, connects everything back to our design phase. It forces a diagnosis, not just a prediction.
Yes, the attrition breakdown. This is arguably the single most valuable strategic output of the entire process. It graphs the contribution of those four factors, retirements, resignations, deaths, and others, to your total losses.
So when a department shows a problem,
this breakdown explains the why. If the trend is bad, and the attrition breakdown shows that 80% of your losses are from resignations, the dashboard is screaming that you have a cultural, a compensation, or a leadership failure.
But if it's 80% retirements,
it's signaling a necessary planned investment in succession planning and recruitment marketing, a totally different strategic response.
And this is exactly how this whole process connects back to you, the listener. Because what this four-phase methodology does is it builds a bulletproof justification. You can now walk into a budget meeting and not just ask for 15 new hires based on a gut feeling.
No, you can stand there and demonstrate using data from Discover, categorized in design, calculated in deploy, that based on expected retirements and a verifiable 3-year resignation rate in, say, the R&D unit, failure to hire these 15 people will result in an unrecoverable 30% capacity shortfall in 24 months.
It elevates the HR function from being seen as a cost center to a strategic engineering function. It's all about mitigating quantifiable risk.
That's the power of clarity you get from handling data methodically.
So we've journeyed through all four phases: discovering the data, designing the variables, deploying the formula, and driving the outcome with those dashboards. This whole framework is really a blueprint for engineering a stable, future-proof talent pipeline.
It really is.
And as we close, I want to reflect on the true lever in this entire system. You might think the most important number is that final future workforce total, but the real strategic power, I think, lies entirely within that attrition breakdown chart.
That's absolutely right. The difference between just predicting the future and actively shaping it is understanding why people are leaving. Simple predictions treat all departures the same.
They just see a loss.
They just see a number going down. But strategic planning demands, you know, if that future shortage is caused by natural, unavoidable aging and retirements, or if it's caused by unexpected, avoidable talent flight, that level of causal understanding is the ultimate value you get from this entire process.
That shift from description to diagnosis is what makes this a deep dive. Thanks for exploring the depths of strategic workforce planning with us.
My pleasure.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive.